From the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida, you're listening to The Diz Unplugged. Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Diz Unplugged Roundtable Discussion for the week of March 6, 2012. I'm John Magi, and I'll be your host this week, and I am joined by our Orlando team, Kathy Werling, Julie Martin, Teresa Eccles, Kevin Close, and Max the intern working the controls. Pete and Walter are on a cruise this week. They'll be back with us again next week. And it's Corey's turn to watch the kids. So that's where he is. In this episode, in this segment, Kevin and I are going to talk about the Tables in Wonderland event we attended at the Disney Design and Display Warehouse. We did this just before leaving for New York City. It was a Saturday night right before we left to go and do the fantasy tour and the christening of the fantasy. So it was kind of a little bit of a hectic weekend, but it was really great. We really enjoyed it. We had heard about the Tables in Wonderland event. We got the email about it, and the first thing I said to Kevin is, let's do it. Let's sign up and do it. And tell him about your experience with signing up for it.
As soon as I saw it, I thought this sounded fun. It was held at the Design and Display Warehouse. These are the folks who put together special events for Disney. If your corporation wants to have a Star Wars-themed event, these are the folks that would put it together for you. They also are the folks that set up the flower and garden displays and the food and wine displays. They do in-store merchandising for the different retail locations in Walt Disney World. And the idea was that you were going to get dinner and a tour of the warehouse. And I thought that sounded like great fun. So it took me seconds to make the decision. It was $95 a person, and I signed up for four people. I got my confirmation a couple of weeks later, and I asked if it would be possible to add additional people. I was told that this was limited to 100 people, and it sold out within minutes.
Wow.
And she did tell me that I was the very first person to respond. So if you see these emails and it sounds like something you want to do, I suggest you grab it. It was, once you signed up, your name was on the reservation list, but you didn't have to pay for about 2 weeks. So you did have some time to think about it, and then they contacted you and said, do you still want the reservation? And if you did, then you paid for it.
So many people signed up for the first one, they actually opened a second night.
Right. Oh, they opened Sunday night. However, they said 400 or 500 people still did not get in.
Wow.
So these are the kind of things that you have to act quickly on, especially when they're these sort of fancy, out-of-the-ordinary events. I know that they have a lot of the dinners at the Wave. I'm not sure they sell out quite as quickly. Now, we did hear a rumor, and again, it's unsubstantiated rumor, that it was so popular that Tables in Wonderland is considering having another event inside the Great Movie Ride. We had attended that one a year and a half ago, I think.
That was fun.
Yeah. So they're going to have another one of those. Watch for the announcements. And if you want to go, again, it's going to sell out pretty quickly, so I would jump on it.
Part of the cool thing of this one was this was off Disney property. This was actually behind
It was close to Florida Mall.
It was close to Florida Mall, but by where sort of the Turnpike and
528 Cross and things like that.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So what you had was we had directions. They gave you directions on how to get there, and as you drove around, you saw these little signs for it. But it was weird because you kind of went into a very industrial area.
However, we were told that this was, even though this wasn't on Disney property, we should consider the fact that we were now backstage and that no photos would be allowed.
Right.
Seems like Disney, when they did, like when we did the Backstage Magic in California, it's always in those plain buildings that you would never guess.
Now, when we got there, it had a very cool sign in front of it. You knew that you were at a Disney area.
However, it's not the kind of place the average tourist is going to wander by.
We're talking about way back in an industrial park. We got there, we parked, they had someone, you know, directing traffic. It was done very well. Went in, got our
credentials.
Got our credentials and signed in.
The lobby, they were telling us they had just redone the lobby. And the lobby, everything in the lobby was black and white and was based on the old cartoon Plain Crazy.
These are very, very creative people. This is a very high creative end. And they are given carte blanche to do whatever they want with their offices. So there was a prop plane in their lobby.
Black and white Mickey's prop plane.
With the thing, each office, propeller moving.
They were allowed to do their actual offices, too. One person's office was the backyard from Home Improvement with Mr. Wilson looking over the fence.
Oh, neat.
He had AstroTurf on the ground. He had a fake fence up. He had looked like
you could see that there was a shingled roof sticking down in, and Mr. Wilson's head was above the fence. Another person's office was based on Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and everything was jewel-toned, and there were statues of dwarves in the office. The other office was based on the Death Star from Star Trek.
Star Wars.
Okay.
Star Trek.
I wouldn't have known either, Kevin.
I'm thinking Star Trek?
Star Wars.
So it looked like you were sitting. His desk was like a console, so it was sort of that steel gray looking.
Oh, that's not geeky at all.
There was a Darth Vader in the corner, a life-size Jeez. Darth Vader, and there were the windows, the slatted windows from the Death Star.
It's very really cool to see. These people are very, very creative.
Highly creative folks.
Now, once we had our little cocktail reception, there was a bar set up, and they had martinis that were like Martian green. And they had the glasses changed colors. They were quite good. They were strong. Then you were taken back into the warehouse. Have any of you watched the show American Pickers?
Yes. Love it. Love it.
Okay, this is what the warehouse looked like.
Really?
It was like everything you could imagine piled up on these huge shelves. As you walked through, you would think, all right, that's the eighth steel barrel I've seen. And then all of a sudden you would come across something which would make your mouth drop open.
One of the first things you see when you walk in is a Nautilus submarine from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea ride. Hmm. And it was like you turn the corner and there it was. It was incredible.
As we walked into where the food was served, we passed Mr. Toad's Wild Ride car.
Aww.
A Mr. Toad's Wild Ride car.
Vehicle.
A vehicle. There was one from
the Skyway.
Oh, really?
Right,
wow.
And Snow White. Stuck there. There was a Snow White ride. Winnie the Pooh ride. There was a car there. And these have been modified to use. They explained to us that the Mr. Toad car had inserts that they could put in, and it was a dessert display at an event.
Huh.
So, like, you would go and you'd say, I want to throw an event at Disney. And they say, what theme do you want? And then they bring out these props and set them up appropriately for the the design.
What a cool job to be the person that has to go and find all this stuff.
Well, I'll tell you an interesting story about they took us on a tour of it. And I said, well, how does this occur? I mean, do you just go and find stuff? And they said, what happens is when there's a rehab or a teardown, Imagineering goes in first. And Imagineering says, we want to save this. We want to save that. We're going to reuse that. They're the next team that's allowed to go through. And at that point, they can determine what they want to keep and bring back to their warehouse for future use or refurb into something else. Then behind them, he said, is the guy who throws things in the shredder. He said, literally what they'll do is anything that's left over can get put in a shredder.
Oh, that's sickening.
There is an option where some stuff does wind up in the cast member property control area for sale or auction, and some stuff is sold to Mouse Surplus. But for the most part, it's like they have to make a split-second decision. Do they want it? Don't they want it? And then it goes somewhere else. There was a front end of a monorail car.
Huh. They explain that's a lot of the stuff is salvaged from old things like that. There was a Mickey and Minnie dressed up in farm clothing. Like Mickey was wearing bib overalls and Minnie had on a denim romper. And they were both wearing hats. These came out of a store. They were part of a display.
But American Gothic.
That's what I was thinking.
No, it was much cuter than that. Yeah. It wasn't, you know, the pitchfork and the...
Yeah.
It wasn't like that. But there was life-size as far as human size, Dalmatian. I'm talking probably 5 or 6 feet tall that came out of one of the Disney stores. But again, is used for display purposes, for whatever they need displays for.
They showed us a lot of the flower and garden stuff that they use, a lot of food and wine carts that are refurbed for different things that they can put out.
A lot of stuff is just made on the premises when they need something to fill a spot. They showed us different backgrounds. One background looked like rustic fencing, tall fencing that they could use. Another one looked like it was all stacked stone, that sort of 1960s modern mm-hmm. stacked stone. And when you touched it, they told us we could touch it. It was nothing but carved styrofoam.
Hmm.
So it was very interesting to see the things that they could make on the fly. But there was shelving from stores, and you could picture sweatshirts or kids' toys stacked up inside them in any of the stores. So it was quite interesting to see. They also showed us how they go out and just buy certain things when they want to do projected images. They showed us that they found a deal on DVD players, and there was a stack of, what would you say, 20 or 30 DVD players, and those can be used any place where there's a, you know, something's on a loop and being projected onto a wall or something. So it was quite interesting. As we got, you were allowed to wander around the warehouse on your own, and then after that was done, the dinner started, and the dinner was set up. They set up different displays within the area. There was the Alice in Wonderland section. It had white rabbit, carrot, vichy, with fresh dill served in drink-me vessels. This was like a cold carrot soup in a glass ball with a screw top, and it had a little sign on it that said, drink me. Other people at the table liked it. I didn't care for it. I guess I didn't like the idea of drinking soup out of that bottle, like a soda bottle.
Yeah, it was weird.
I didn't. It just didn't appeal to me.
It was cold or hot?
It was cold. Room temperature.
Yeah,
a Queen of Hearts heirloom tomato with roasted red beets and red Zinfandel vinaigrette. I happen to love beets, and this was terrific. There was a carved caterpillar hookah smoked turkey breast with mini pita, cranberry pecan preserve, and roasted corn aioli.
Now, this was
a huge turkey breast under a glass dome, which was had smoke flavor underneath it. So they would put the turkey down, inject the smoke flavor into it, and then cover it up, and it smoked the turkey breast, and then someone carved
like
it for you.
Fake smoke flavor.
It was actually very good.
I have to tell you. I'm going to tell you all about the stuff, but I'm going to tell you right now. Of all the things I tried, this was absolutely my favorite. That turkey was delicious, and that cranberry pecan relish on top of it, didn't get any better. Excuse me, The next thing was the Pixar section, and there was a fungus-melted raclette of cheese with cornichons, potatoes, onions, and baguettes. It's melted cheese. They took a little metal tray.
It was very strange.
And they melted a piece of, like, Swiss cheese in it, and then they laid it over a piece of bread, and there were little button mushrooms and little tiny pickles. And little pieces of bread if you wanted to lay it on top of that.
It looked like the little tray out of like your Easy Bake Oven with a piece of cheese
or,
on it. Okay.
If you're old enough, it looked like something you would make creepy crawlers in.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
And he took it out of a little heater and he laid it over the bread. It was okay. It was just weird. It was like, kind of like everything else was good and sort
this
of
was just melted cheese.
Yeah, it was weird.
With button mushrooms and pickles.
That
it was
sounds
it,
disgusting.
It was okay. It wasn't. I didn't go back for more.
Sounds like something you fix when there's nothing in the fridge.
Right. Exactly.
Looking for something.
Well, actually, it was.
Am I not the only one that does that?
No, we do it too.
Okay.
At one of the Food and Wines, raclette was on the Swiss food booth. You could get raclette, but they did it a little fancier than this. There was a Toy Story inspired Mr. Prickle Pants quick. Pickled tuna soft tacos with jicama green chili slaw and tequila sour cream. It was a taco, a little mini pita with some pickled tuna in it. And Nemo-inspired Harvest of the Sea martini with wakame.
Mm.
No idea what wakame is.
I think wakame is the seaweed salad.
Okay.
On the bottom, and then there was
a scallop, and there was a shrimp in there.
Wakame.
Walter seemed to think that was the best thing.
It was
he
his
loved
favorite.
It.
He went up for like five or six of them.
The next section was Walt's Legacy, Mickey Mac and Cheese with crispy pork belly and heirloom tomato. John thought this was really good,
especially when you picked out all the pork belly.
I didn't. Pork belly is basically bacon, by the way.
You like the. Okay, so it was.
You picked them out and you eat them like popcorn.
It was in the mac and cheese?
Yeah, it was in the mac and cheese. It was like bacon mixed in your mac and cheese. How could you go bad?
Minnie's chicken and phyllo pot pie bites. These were little tiny phyllo cups with chicken pot pie filling in them. Literally, you can pick them up and pop them in your mouth. They were okay. Petite mixed grill meatloaf with truffle demi-glaze. These were rectangular-shaped meatballs.
I thought they were really good.
Cubes of meat.
But they were little mini loaves, and there was a mushroom truffle gravy on top of it.
So it's like really little tiny meatloaves?
Yeah, like little personal
little Barbie,
size
little
meatloaves.
Barbie meatloaves.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, but very good. Really tasty.
The next section was good versus evil. There was chilled poblano, smoked pork tenderloin with red apple chutney and charred flatbread. I thought this was delicious.
It was really good.
Had a little bit of a spice to it. There was a creamy, sweet, organic polenta with shrimp fra diavolo. That also was very spicy.
I like polenta.
And it was a little too hot for me.
Freeze-fried Rotovap Bloody Mary drops with micro celery.
Ooh, Jetson's there. What is that?
Have you seen the whole new thing they do in the food stuff, this gastro-astronomy?
Yeah.
Not astronomy.
Wow.
Gazing at the stars.
Yeah. What it was a clear shot of vodka, and then they had little gelled drops of tomato and little gelled drops of micro celery in it. So it looked like
beads.
Little
vodka with beads in it.
I tried it, and I thought...
Was it like, how big were the, like little bath beads or
no,
pearls?
Smaller,
pearls?
Like peas.
Yeah.
Peas.
Baby peas.
How much vodka did you get?
A shot.
Okay.
An ounce of vodka maybe, and then you had the blue little pearls in
it
there.
It was pretty clever. It was pretty. It wasn't very good.
I don't like Bloody Marys, so I would have passed.
No, it didn't. But there was an open bar, too, by the way, and they were serving wine.
Molecular gastronomy.
Oh, Lord.
I redeemed myself.
I was sure that I was going to hear that on the way home.
Yeah.
Screaming on
late at night. The other end of the house here, I'm screaming out.
There was an open bar. The martinis that were served out front were still being served. You could have Diet Coke. You could have any of the soft drinks. There were a couple different kinds of wine and beers and stuff. So, and it was just open. Also, we finished up the good versus evil. Now, I also have to tell you that the good versus evil, they explained that all of the stuff where this stuff was set up had been used at other events.
So everything was themed.
Everything was
very
themed.
Very cool.
The good versus evil was set up on a surfboard.
No, a surfboard.
What was that?
It was a table. It was a
what shape was the table?
Oval.
It was a surfboard.
Okay, surfboard shape.
However, the surfboard had a wave motion to it. The table moved.
It was kind of like you're in the Haunted Mansion and this table, because there was a candelabra on it, and it was like the table was supposed to look like it was floating.
It was moving?
It was.
And you had to try to get your feet off it?
It wasn't moving all that fast.
Oh.
However, as you stood there, it made your equilibrium go crazy.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
You couldn't really... I had to move away from it.
And that's where you got the martinis?
Yeah. I had to move away from it. It was making me dizzy.
I thought it was great.
It didn't bother him at all.
I thought it was really cool the way they did it.
And I said to the man behind the counter, does this drive you crazy? He said, no, I've kind of gotten past it. But at first it did. Have you ever been sitting someplace and the car next to you starts
Yeah,
to
you
move?
Feel like
yes.
you're moving.
And you feel like
you're
it's going,
moving.
Like, yeah, it feels like you're going backwards.
That's what this was.
Usually I am, though.
I felt very much like I was on a cruise ship with this table moving, and it didn't really work for me. I just got away from it. I also didn't find anything except the smoked pork on this table that I thought that was worth going back for. Again, my favorite thing was the turkey with the pecan and cranberry chutney. The next thing was a steampunk dessert wheel. And it looked like a giant mechanical wheel. Steampunk is this sort of cultish thing going on where people don't believe... It's people who don't want to use electricity. Everything is very mechanical. There are people who now dress in steampunk clothing.
It's kind of this retro artsy thing movement that's going on.
Did you see Sherlock Holmes with...
Robert Downey Jr.?
Yes.
No.
That had a very steampunk look to it.
It's like there's no more electricity. It's everything is sort of this mechanical, intertwined.
Industrial looking.
That's a good way of explaining
very,
it.
Very, very much so.
So they had this big wheel that looked like almost like a cog in a giant machine.
Or part of a clock or something. And they had... It took a long time for everybody to figure out how to eat the dessert.
You had to grab it on the wheel?
No.
The wheel didn't move. They were set in displays.
It looked like little lollipop. It looked like little half plastic test tubes stuck on a straw. And people were like trying to suck the dessert out of the test tube. No one could figure it out. Then people were putting their finger over the straw thinking, remember those shooters they had at the Food and Wine Festival at the Swan Dolphin? all of a sudden, I don't remember who it was, but they realized that if you pushed up on the straw,
a push up.
It was a. Remember, they had a push up pop.
It's a push up.
Oh my
yeah.
god! It was a push up. So awesome.
Okay, so there were guava cheese whip with mango.
How many of you did it take to figure that out?
I think I figured it out first because it was kind of like
you looked around. We once somebody figured it out, they taught other people who were sitting around them, and it was like, oh, all of a sudden it was like, okay, that's easy, and I'm not going to kill myself or choke.
I want to see.
There was a dark chocolate, which was a nice dark chocolate with a raspberry dot on top of it. There was a crushed Oreo cheesecake. That was good. A Florida Key Lime Crunch, also good. So John went up and came back, and he hands me two. And I said to him, what is this? He goes, I don't know. I said, you had your choice of dark chocolate raspberry, crushed Oreo cheesecake, or Florida Key Lime. John brought me two Greek strawberry yogurt push-ups. I said to him, this is what you chose for me? So after that, after you were done, and we were allowed as much time as you needed, what they said about an hour after dinner started, they would start under the monorail, which was at the far end of the warehouse. They were going to do tours. Mm. And as you finished dinner, if you made your way down there, they were going to take tours as they filled
sort
up.
Sort of small groups.
15, 20 people at a time. Yeah. And you wandered as through the warehouse. And again, you could have sat there until the very last group or been part of the first group. We became part of one group, and I found the man talked very, very softly. And he seemed to want to talk a long time about everything. So I said to John, I'm out of here. And all I did was sort of meld into the group behind me where the person was speaking much in a much louder voice, which made sure that everybody could hear him. And he also was a little snappier. So it was really this loose. It wasn't like you had a number that you had to get in line or anything. You also didn't have to take the tour at all. You could wander around and look at the stuff. They were quite willing to let you touch stuff. You were allowed to touch whatever was in the...
I thought it was very cool. We had a great time. One of the things that, as you were leaving, the tour ended up in the offices. So it was weird. You walked into the offices, but that was where you wound up, and that's how they explained everybody's ideas behind decorating their offices.
How many people work here?
I think they said five or six.
Yeah, not that many.
No, there's four offices, but then in the back, in the warehouse, there are people who work back there. Okay. But there's four or five or six, I don't remember, creative people.
And then you wound up in their conference room. The last thing they did is we want to show you a short film about what we do, this team does, in their conference room. Kevin didn't go in. It was a smaller room, probably half the size of the podcast room.
And it was dark.
But they designed it after Alice in Wonderland. So on the ceiling was a chess game where the chess pieces were upside down. There were murals on the wall from Alice in Wonderland. There was... Tweedledum and Tweedledee, and just very well done. Very, very cute. The whole thing was very well done. Showed us a movie, talked about, again, explained how people go about hiring them, some of the events they've done in the past, what they do. Very interesting, cool stuff. And then on the way...
Before we go out, there was a bar set up, an actual bar built into this office. And while they were in the movie, someone said, why do you have a bar that's like a permanent... It says it wasn't... The bar wasn't set up for this event. The bar was built in permanently.
To their office space.
Into their office space. And they said, well, it's not going to be a bar when you leave. It's going to be a cereal bar. Everybody that works here, when asked what their favorite food was, they said cereal. So they're having different cereal boxes made more permanent that are going to become the wall decoration. And everybody's favorite cereal will be stocked behind the bar, and when they come in the morning, they can have a meal whenever they want.
Do you think they would ever make that like a Disney tour, or was this like your once-in-a-lifetime kind of tour?
I think it was very popular. I think we'll see more of these going on, but I don't think it'll be a regular tour, because what they explained to us is this is a working warehouse. Mm-hmm. They said, listen, Monday we've got to now move a whole bunch of stuff out and set it up and bring it back. A lot of this stuff happens overnight.
They had all worked all day also.
Right. Mm.
And then did this. We left there about 9:30. So I imagine that was a long day for them, and they had to do it again the next day.
So this is a working space. So I don't think they can put it on a Disney tour. They might. You never
it's
know.
One of those things that I think it's cool when they pop up, but it's not the kind of thing that you can dilly-dally about. You make a decision at the time.
Mm-hmm. And then as we left, they gave us a parting gift, which was very nice. It was a pin designed by one of their designers, and it was after the Tables in Wonderland logo.
Which is Alice looking like through the keyhole.
Oh, that's nice.
That's the Tables in Wonderland. That's where the name came from. Alice in Wonderland, Tables in Wonderland. So that's the logo, and it was a pin limited to 250 people. Mm. Or 250 pieces, excuse me. So all in all, I thought the food was good. There were things I liked and things I didn't care for as much. I thought being able to wander around, I thought it was fun looking at the display pieces. The merchandising pieces. I thought that was great fun. And trying to figure out if I could figure out where things had been or where they were going. As we walked through, people quickly picked things out.
I guess that's Pete's.
Maybe I had it wrong. Maybe she's not looking through the keyhole. It's Alice on a teapot.
I could see where you thought that, though.
We looked at it quickly. I think this is a great event. I hope they do more like this. I hope they have other areas where they're willing to sort of open up. I mean, think about things like we talked about the laundry. Mm-hmm. I mean, how silly would it be? But I think people would love that. Have a dinner in the laundry area and see what the costumes look
like. I think anytime they allow people to pull back the curtain, I think it's enjoyable for people.
What did the other people, the other 100?
People were very, very enthralled. I mean, people asked a lot of questions. We saw Deb Wills there.
Okay.
So this is a Disney fan experience.
Some of our listeners were there.
Right.
We met some listeners there. It was, everybody was excited to be there. And to sort of, again, look behind that curtain. I think it's when you're a kid and remember you want to take stuff apart and see how it worked. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the, I think that's the same thing that makes these so appealing. A, you're getting something that's kind of exclusive. There was only 99 other people there besides me. So it was, I felt, you know, you feel kind of special. Mm-hmm. But I also think it's an idea that I get to see how the clock works. I get to see what makes it all run. It also will give me a great appreciation when I go to Flower and Garden and I see these beautiful displays and I know how much work it took to go into that. And they explained the level of detail and theming that has to go into what it is they're doing. At one point, there was a giant styrofoam mound. And they said, does anybody recognize this? And some people guessed. However, they said it had started life as Space Mountain. And it was cut down, and it became Big Thunder Mountain. And it was cut down, and it became Expedition Everest. So at several different events, this one piece of styrofoam had been several different things. Another thing, they recreated the roof from Japan.
Okay.
And it was a huge thing that was going to sit over the buffet, and it looked like a Japanese temple. And they said, if you want to see how creative people are, it looked, you know, those tiled roofs with, like, the ribs in them? Mm-hmm. They said, go over and touch it. And it had been done with, like, tar paper was the roof. And then those giant ribs were pool noodles that they had sprayed black so that when you touch them, they looked like tile from back. When you got up to it and touched it, you realized this was really just a pool noodle.
They had a very interesting piece, something that grabbed my attention. They had a piece of a prop from The Nightmare Before Christmas that was used for shooting, like an exterior. So you could see this big black table with sort of buildings and trees. It was in disrepair because they got it in this condition. They were going to rebuild it. But it was what they used to do sort of a camera shot.
It was actually what Tim Burton built himself by hand to convince Disney to back The Nightmare Before Christmas. And they said it was probably the most important and most valuable piece in there. It had been handcrafted by the filmmaker. So they said, and
touch
apparently
that?
He's no, actually you could, yes, but only the edge of it.
Right.
When you looked at it, you know what manila folders, like a manila folder, mm-hmm. like kind of thin cardboard?
Yeah.
That's kind of like what it was made out of, but sprayed black and gray and kind of painted
sounds
like that.
A science project.
It's cool. Very much so, a kid's science project. But he figured out how to put small cameras in there and filmed, I think they said, a 15-minute short in this set And we're talking. It's probably 6 or 7 feet by 6 or 7 feet, and it had a shelving unit all to itself. And they said that was the thing they were the most proud of.
Hmm.
They were cool. One of the things they were going to do next was once Snow White came down, they were going to go through Snow White, the ride, and pick apart whatever they wanted out of that, and also test track.
Wouldn't that be fun to be walking with that person as they're going through? Keep that. Get rid of that. Do this. Do
I want to do it for myself.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I want that, and I want that, and I want that.
What was that?
I think that was the alarm.
Oh, it sounded like in my headphones. That's why I wonder.
I think Max is letting Max out.
I had a friend who did some freelance artwork for Disney one time, and as he was walking backstage, there was a dumpster. And sticking out of the dumpster was the giant poster, but it wasn't made on paper. It was made on, like, particle board, and you could see the 4 screw holes in it. And it was the thing that said, this was the entrance to the Skyway to Tomorrowland. And he said, are you going to throw that away? And they said, yeah. And they said, can I have it? He said, can I have it? Absolutely. So I used to go over to his house, and this was something I coveted very much. And he had taken molding, baseboard molding, and made a frame around it. And this huge actual Disney artifact was hanging in his living room. So it's amazing what Disney throws away.
I mean, this one warehouse was huge, and there's no way they could keep everything. So,
and not everything was of this high quality and recognizable. There were things where there was like old rusted watering can. When I tell you it looked like American Pickers, it looked like American Pickers. And then every once in a while, amidst all this stuff, you would find Pongo or Perdita. I don't remember which one it was. I'm sure it could have been either one, depending on putting eyelashes and a name on it. But not everything was a gem.
But that, going back to the garden stuff, I can remember last year, I think it was at Flower and Garden, they had some really neat, like, holders that they put the pots and stuff on that I'm like, oh, I'd kill to find where they got those. Because it really set the flowers off. And it's like,
all where fabricated.
Where do you go to find
that
stuff
they
like
also
that?
Said a lot of stuff like that. And he actually used the word, he said, we're not above shopping at Target. So, you know, when they need things like that, if they can buy it for a certain price, it's easier than making it.
Yeah. Well, see, that just makes me love it even more. Disney will shop there.
Really? All right. That'll do it for that segment.
If you get a chance.
No, maybe not.
Go. Don't hesitate. Make your reservations and go.
It was very cool. It was a lot of fun. Again, that'll do it for that segment, and that'll do it for this edition of the Diz Unplugged. Stay tuned for another edition coming up soon.